What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode number 16 of 5280 Nerd. How was your week, buddy?
It's pretty good, man. We are just doing a lot of wedding planning. It's kind of just consuming our lives and just working. And yeah, man, I got to buy Halo 5, so I'm excited to give an impression about it this week. Other than that, just kind of same old, same old. How about you?
Yeah, man, pretty similar. Been working, not planning a wedding, obviously. Already did that, been down that road. Yeah, man, got some new toys I'm going to talk about in our 2 cents section. But yeah, pretty good week. Not too crazy. Definitely made it through it. For you guys that don't know, we recorded on Friday nights. So it's the end of our week. And when you guys are hearing us, it's the beginning of week of your week. So hopefully we're helping you get through that.
Yeah. Oh, that's depressing, thinking that this is going to be heard on Monday. Gross.
Yeah. At least there's one good thing about a Monday, right?
Yeah. You're welcome, listeners.
You're welcome. You're all three welcome. Of you.
God.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Well, awesome. Well, yeah, we have some follow-up news from some previous podcasts. We try to follow up with things that we talk about in previous podcasts. One of those things, we were talking about how Jon Stewart left Comedy Central, and we wanted to follow up with where he's at in his career. And Sean, yeah, Jon Stewart just recently announced the return to, he's going to do current events coverage for HBO. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, man, I actually heard about this. Jon Stewart was a huge part of my adolescence. I am a pretty big, I guess, follower of politics and whatnot, and definitely of comedy. And so he was definitely the best match of that I've ever seen. And he did such a great job on The Daily Show for so long. And I was so sad when he decided to step down. But yeah, he's made a comeback. He's decided, you know, he's been retired for a little bit and he wants to start doing some stuff again. He is going to be doing, like, I guess, daily, a couple minutes a day, like, breakdowns of what's going on in the world, on their streaming services for HBO, like HBO Now and HBO Go, a couple times a day, I guess. Which is cool. I mean, I actually consume all of my HBO watching through HBO Now or Go. Actually, I think it's Go.
It's HBO Go, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be cool to see him on there and see what he has to say. And I guess also part of his contract with HBO is that for, like, the next 4 years, I think, he has to, like, give HBO first shot at anything he produces, any TV shows or movies. So, yeah, huh. Man, it sounds like a pretty sweet deal for him. He gets to work a couple minutes a day and, yeah, and then gets, like, automatically, like, you don't have to go find somebody. Like, they're like, you have to give it to us first. It's like, oh, okay, like, I get to produce something for sure, at least through you guys. Or if you don't want to, I could take it wherever I want. So, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it is really awesome. He's, like, not my favorite. Probably I don't idolize him as much as you do. But I think Jon Stewart's pretty funny. So
more of a Rush Limbaugh fan, huh?
I wouldn't go that far. No. No, I like Jon Stewart. I think he's funny and he's got some good points. But yeah, no, he's pretty funny, man. And he's birthed some really funny talent like Stephen Colbert and a bunch of other people. So I think he's funny. I'm just surprised. It seems like, I wonder how, I mean, if it's just quick little blurbs and they're getting, like, things that's coming down the pipeline, it still doesn't seem like that's a big deal, you know? Like, it's not like a show they're giving him. It's just kind of like a quick blurb thing, right?
Yeah, that's what the couple articles I read said. It was just a short form analysis from Jon Stewart, which will appear on streaming services HBO Now and HBO Go multiple times a day. So, Yeah, man. Which is kind of weird because I know they have a weekly, like, Daily Show-esque type show. It's like This Week in the News or something like that with John Oliver, I think his name is. Which I've seen that a couple times and it's super funny and he does a great job. And I think he actually used to work for The Daily Show. I'm not 100% sure. Like, he was one of those correspondents.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be part of that or if it's like... Maybe that's why it's on the streaming service only, so it's kind of like its own deal. But
yeah, man, it's pretty cool. It was a quick return. I mean, I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. I don't think anybody thought Jon Stewart was going to be away from entertainment for decades. I mean, I didn't. So
I thought it'd be longer than this. He came back pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he probably just didn't know what to do with himself. He's probably bored, like, oh, shit, why did I quit The Daily Show? I want to be in entertainment again. It's obviously a passion of his, and he's a funny guy, so.
He was, in one of the articles I read, he quoted him saying, appearing on television 22 minutes a night clearly broke me, said Stewart in a statement. I'm pretty sure I can produce a few minutes of content every now and again. So I think, like, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I think, like, his job or Steve Colbert or, you know, like, Jay Leno or David Letterman all those years, to have to do that every night I think would be really tough. To be, like, witty and clever all the time and, like, you know, we produce this show once a week and it's an hour long and it's, like, man, it's tough to do sometimes to get all the content that you need to do. And to be on all the time. And so I can imagine doing it every night, you know, in front of hundreds of millions of people or whatever. Would be, that's gotta be a lot of pressure after like years and years of doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm a little less sympathetic. They're meeting the most popular people in the world. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They have a writing team. Yeah, the hours might suck, but, you're a part of history in a way, like Johnny Carson was, like all these other famous, you know, Jay Leno and David Letterman. And I mean, you're making a legacy and everyone knows you. I mean, there's endless pluses from it. So it's like, I don't feel bad for these late night show hosts. I mean, is it really work? I mean, they're just,
I think it 100% is. You gotta research all that stuff, especially, you know, maybe not necessarily like the late night show or something, because that's a lot of your shows eaten up by interviewing a guest, a celebrity or whatever. Or listening
they have
to
talent.
A band.
They have talent, yeah. Because, yeah, like Stephen Colbert is immensely talented with his wittiness. He's quick. He's funny. I'm not saying I could do it. I'm just saying I don't feel bad for these people who get to.
Yeah.
Tonight we have Angelina Jolie. Yeah, my yeah. Life's so hard. I'm going to go cash that $1 million check. And it's like, I mean, really, they could only do it for a decade and then retire if they wanted to.
Sure. Well, I think Jon Stewart, it would be harder for his position because you'd have to actually know the news. You're doing commentary the whole time opposed to interviewing a guest. Like, you'd have to actually be, which he was very intelligent. And then not only, you know, like a late night host, you're dealing like with the best parts of society, like glamour and like fame. Whereas like, I think it would draw on me if I had to report like every night on like the worst things that are happening in our society and then try to make light of it every night.
I think you're right. I think it is harder than like a late night show gig. Cause yeah, but he would be keeping up on that stuff anyway. But yeah, I understand. Yeah, it is probably a little hard to do like a news type show and try to be funny and every night. I get it. But at the same time, it is a dream job for a bunch of people who would love to do that, you know. And obviously, Jon Stewart did love doing it for a while. It's just for him kind of burnt him out. But
yeah, it's cool, though, that he's getting back into it. He's finding an outlet for his creativity. And that's cool. That's on HBO because he could curse now. More readily,
so. Yeah, a little easier content than Comedy Central. So yeah, good to have him back.
Sure. So we also had some more follow up. We kind of reviewed the first Star Wars trailer when it came out. Gave our kind of our 2 cents on that. So now all three trailers have came out in an international version. And J.J. Abrams said he's very, very insistent that this is all the footage that's coming out before the release. There's not going to be any more, which I feel like they've put out a ton between the three trailers and the international version. I watched the international version today. I've seen all three before today. But the international one, man, every single one is like leaves me like breathless. Like it looks so good, man.
Yeah.
And they all show like different aspects of it. And can't wait. Amazing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome, man. I'm glad that it makes sense. Three trailers. They probably spaced it out 1, 2, 3, obviously. That Kylo Ren still that everyone sees where he's got the lightsaber to, I forget her name's throat, but I'm just fascinated by Kylo Ren, man. I think he has potential to be hopefully the best villain of Star Wars ever, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's going to be an awesome movie. It just keeps the hype train rolling, and no more new footage sounds good to me. I just want to wait for that movie, and can't wait to see it, man. It's going to be really, really good.
For sure, man. Me too. Yeah, I feel like I've seen all these trailers, and it's far enough out that I'm going to start like forgetting about them right when the movie hits. And yeah, I'm really excited. And it's definitely got me pumped up, and it's going to be good, man. I can't wait. Everything about it looks amazing, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be real good.
It's going to be real good.
So, Sean, you got a review for us of a device. Why don't you let us know what'd you get this week?
I bought the new Apple TV, a fourth generation. So, pretty excited about that. Actually got it the weekend after it came out. I think it came out the 26th. And I got it like a few days after Halloween. So, within a week of when it came out, it is, I wouldn't say revolutionary. I think it's definitely a leap above the old version. We've talked on this show before about us wanting to cut the cable, as it's been told, and both of us have gone that direction. Both of us have Hulu Plus and Prime, Netflix, and all these other services to try to get away from cable. And I feel like this is definitely a good step in that direction. Especially if you use a Mac and you have an iPhone, so if your world's kind of in that OS experience, I think that the Apple is really up your alley for sure. So my quick review of it, I thought it was a great experience when it's working. There are still some glitches. There are a few things that I think that they could do better, and I think that they're working on some patches. The biggest update, I feel like, with it being tvOS, that they're going to be able to make these changes that they need to make a lot easier with updates, tvOS 5, and they'll still be able to work on the same hardware that they sent out. It has the same footprint as far as like the size of it. If you're looking down at it, it's like I'd say twice as thick though, so it's like kind of a little chunky black box kind of deal. I would say probably equivalent to being like a Roku or whatever. It comes in 32 gigs or 64 gigs. I got this 64 gig because I wasn't sure how much space apps were going to take up, or if I was going to store pictures on there or whatever, and so I wanted to have the option with a little bit bigger hard drive just to be safe. It was like 50 extra bucks, so I think it's like 150 or 200 basically is the price of it right now. The things I noticed right out of the box, it doesn't have an optical output, which is fine because I don't use that. I believe optical outputs are for like if you have a audio receiver that you're setting up like a home theater system, and I don't use one of those. I have a sound bar that connects actually through Bluetooth. So if you do have like a audio receiver, that might be something you need to consider if you wanted it to to plug in directly to your sound system. The biggest thing that I thought right out of the box too that was amazing is the remote. It's really, really cool. It's slightly bigger than the old. Well, I'd say it's quite a bit bigger than the old version. It's got like the top half is like a glass trackpad, and it has like this click feature. So navigation is awesome, really easy to navigate around. It has a Siri button, so you could search all your media, which this is the part that I thought was really, really cool. You hold down the Siri button and you could say, whatever, show me comedy movies. And it'll show you all the comedy movies across all the different apps that you have. So if you have like Netflix and Hulu and HBO and all these other ones, it'll go through and it'll find comedy movies. Some of their suggestions are a little bit off, but for the most part, it was pretty good. But it's really nice if you're looking for a particular show and you want to find the most recent episode and you're not sure if it's on Netflix or Hulu or HBO or whatever, it'll go out and it'll find all those options for you. So if you wanted to watch, I don't know, The Walking Dead or something, it would pull that up for you right away, which I thought was really cool. You could also, another feature that I didn't hear anybody talk about really, but you could turn off your TV and your Apple TV with at the same time with one of the buttons. So it like puts both to sleep and you could turn both back on with your Apple remote, which if you owned an Apple TV in the past was like the biggest pain in the ass because it was a really tiny remote and I always lost it. And so I had to like control it with my phone or like have to have my other remote for my TV. Another thing about the Apple remote is it has volume control, which is awesome as well. So you don't have to have another remote at all if you're using your Apple TV as your primary device. You could do volume, you could turn your TV off. With Siri, it has a lot of really cool commands because you can turn captions on. I even found a cool feature the other day. I was watching a movie and I was like, what did he say? And I said it to Siri because I heard you could say that to it. And it rewinds it back like, whatever, 10, 15 seconds. And it plays it again and it puts captions up for just that part. If you couldn't hear what they said or if there was like a mumbled part of a movie or whatever. I thought that part was really cool. What else? tvOS, their new operating system that's built on, looks really similar to the old one. It has apps now, which is obviously the biggest part of it. All the stuff that you had before as far as like Netflix and Hulu and all those things, sports like ESPN and a whole bunch of other ones, a lot of shit that you don't care about. There's like a ton of apps that, man, I just wasn't interested in it at all. Like, for some reason, these people who just made these stupid apps were on top of it. Because they just made, they don't feature them in the store. Like, you have to go and search through, like, their bigger library. But there are a lot of really dumb apps. But then there's, like, a lot of really great ones. And I have to give it to Apple that they've done a really good job of kind of filtering that and putting the actual apps that you would probably want or use towards the front. There's a lot of cool stuff that's wasn't really before as far as like games, shopping stuff, like weather stuff, like a lot of stuff that just makes your TV a more useful tool, I guess, for your everyday life. I think there's a lot of potential. There wasn't a ton of apps right out of the gate, but yeah, it was a decent amount, definitely enough to keep you happy. Video quality was pretty good, I thought. Watching Hulu and Netflix, it was pretty crisp. They don't have 4K currently, which is kind of a bummer, but
it's still. Is like it capable of 4K?
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be an update or not. I'm kind of curious to see what they would have to do to have it stream through that. I don't know.
I wonder how that works. That kind of seems like a big deal because 4K TVs are kind of becoming a little bit more popular than they been.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's not a huge deal, but I could see somebody that's wanting to purchase something for the future. But then again, it's, you know, at its cheapest, it's $150, that's which isn't nothing, but it's not like you're not like buying a $500 console. You're buying a $150 edition.
Right.
So, yeah, man, there was actually a really cool app that I found. It's called Madefire, and it's like It's like these digital comic books. So it's like you could read a comic book on your TV, but it's like very, it's very, what's the word that I'm trying to think of? Very immersive. Like it has animations incorporated into it, and like it's got like a parallax feeling to like the whole thing. And there's like voiceover stuff in parts, and there's like music and like sound effects in some parts.
Have you tried this app?
I did, dude, and it was amazing. They don't have, they have like maybe a handful of content right now, and because it's specifically made for this digital immersion of books and stuff. So like DC's Injustice comic series is on there, like the full series. That's the one I actually read through like two or three episodes or two or three issues, and it's, oh, it's so amazing, dude. It's really cool, and I definitely could see this being like the future of comic books. And I know we've talked about that before, like where do comic books go? It's like taking it from, you know, a handheld copy to like an iPad and to like this next thing that's like very immersive. And I don't know how the comic book world feels about it, because I'm sure it is a lot of extra work, you know, on top of drawing these amazing illustrations and writing these great stories, to have to like animate some of this stuff. And but it's really cool, and it's definitely like still enough that you feel like you're reading it, and you're, because you are reading the whole thing, but it's like just this extra level of immersion, and especially when you're reading it on this giant TV or whatever. It's just it's a really cool experience, man. I really like that. And I don't know, that could be on all of the devices that are out there. I don't know if it's just local to Apple TV right now or not, but
huh, that's really, really cool. Yeah, I really want to try that out, if it's something you can get on your iPad or whatnot. But wow, that's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Some other stuff I noticed that was kind of weird: you can't use your iPhone currently as a remote. I don't know if you've done that in the past. They have like a remote app you could get and control. Yeah. You can't do that right now for some reason, and I don't know if it's because of the way that the new controls are set up. Siri has a lot of cool features, but it doesn't have as many features as like your iPhone would say, per se. So if like you can't say like, how far is it to whatever, Domino's or something, or the grocery store, it doesn't have like a built-in app for like a map feature. And same with like a calendar feature, which is kind of weird, because I feel like that would be something they would definitely incorporate. Especially because you set it up by connecting it to your phone or to your like iPad or some other device, and it pulls all of your like iTunes account information over,
right?
And so you're able to purchase things and all that stuff. So it's kind of weird that they wouldn't go that extra step and make it so like I could check my calendar real quick on my TV. Maybe that's phase two or whatever. I'm sure they were. There's so much that's in it that I'm sure that there was a lot that they were trying to get done and still hit a deadline. So I'm sure that's coming. But yeah, man, I thought it was really cool. The gaming and stuff on it was actually kind of fun. Like if you're into like just like casual gaming, which I play on my phone all the time if I'm bored. Yeah, it's cool, man. Like the remote, you could like for driving games, you tilt it on its side and it has like a, like the gyroscope sensor or whatever that's like in your phone.
Kind of like the Wii remote type
thing. Totally, yeah. Same thing. It has like a tennis game you can use the remote for. But yeah, it's just like fun if you're like waiting. Like if you watched a bunch of Netflix and you want to play a quick game or something, you throw it on real quick. But yeah, overall, I would say I'd give it an 8 out of 10. Like I said, I think it's your best choice if your life is revolved around Apple. If not, you know, I'm sure it's at least comparable, if not maybe a little bit better than like a Roku or
Chromecast.
Yeah, I think the app thing is the biggest advancement. I'm really excited to see what they come up with as time goes on. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for doing that review. That's really good. It's really insightful. It seems like there's a lot of things that I didn't even know that it did, that feature of the comic book I want to check out, but also the what did he say thing. That's really cool. Yeah. That it goes back, and that's actually like pretty, that to me is revolutionary. Like technology. So very cool, very cool. So yeah, so this week I'm just doing an impression of Halo 5. I really don't have much to say because I've really just cracked it open. I've only done 4 missions. The campaign is 15 missions long. 343 said that they really think that the campaign is meant to be done with a friend, a cooperative mode. You cannot do split screen. There was a lot of stink about that fans were upset about, because when you think of Halo, you think of going through it with a friend, and we have for a decade now. And
yeah, but like the last, I don't remember the last time I bought a game that you could do split screen on.
I think I can't think of any offhand, but I know with the Master Chief Collection, me and my girlfriend did
but 3 or 4 missions. To old games
that were, yeah,
like a new game.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a new game in the last 5 years, maybe, that has
split screen. I know. I know, but still, it's Halo, and it's it shouldn't be that hard of a feature to put in. If you're gonna be able to do it cooperatively, like, why not just do it for the fans? And there's a nostalgia with Halo being a, and it is a great cooperative game to go through with a friend. It is very centered around that, the campaign, you can tell. Especially when you're fighting hunters, you know, you got to shoot them from the back, and it can be very strategical. You do go through the campaign with Team Osiris, and which is like Spartan Locke's team, and then it switches between the story between Spartan Locke and then Master Chief. And when you're with Master Chief Blue Team, you have Spartans that are with you too, and the character development, you know, I'm only 4 missions in, seems pretty weak. I read a bunch of reviews about Halo 5 already, and so I kind of wanted to know what I was jumping into, and being a Halo fan myself, I was curious. So, like I said, I've only just scratched the surface, but in the campaign, you can command your Spartan team to go to a place, or you can tell them to focus on an enemy, kind of point and click type thing. And I like it. It's a really cool feature in the campaign that it's never been in Halo before. It is very, very different. I feel like the DNA is still the same with original Halo, which is good that they kept some nostalgia there. But definitely you get a sense that they're trying to wash the Bungie out of it. 343 Studios is, and there's a lot of, the controls are different. Thing that threw me off just initial dealing with the game is the sprinting is the joystick, it's not the left bumper. Reloading isn't the right bumper. The controls kind of switch to most first person shooters like Call of Duty or Destiny, or it's always been sprint with that left joystick click. So I guess it's a good adjustment, but for any diehard Halo fans, like, I was playing the Master Chief Collection. I went through Halo 4 before I bought Halo 5, and it was an adjustment to switch the controls. And but so far, I mean, you have a Spartan slam move when you jump down, and you can ram through with a Spartan ram move, and it is very, very different than a traditional Halo. They really wanted, I think, to break away even more so from original Bungie controllers and things like that. They're really trying to make this game their own, you can tell. I haven't even touched multiplayer for a good reason. I want to get through the campaign first, and then once I feel comfortable and good enough and skilled enough to get my ass kicked in Halo, then I will make that plunge after the campaign I finish. But on an up note, the cinematics in between missions are incredible. They beat Destiny cutscenes. They beat everything. I mean, it is like cinematography, CGI. It is incredible. The voice acting's really great. Picks up right where Halo 4 left off. So far, the story's okay. I really don't want to play as Spartan Locke, but I've heard that you play the majority of the missions as Spartan Locke, which I'm super bummed about. And, yeah, but this is just an impression. once I go through the game, I'll give you a full review. And once I get through, you know, a good amount of multiplayer, I can't wait to give our listeners kind of what I think about it. And so far, it's not horrible. It's fun to play. It is addicting. And I'm excited to dive more into it, Sean. So look out for the future. If not this week, maybe next week I'll have my full review ready.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I was supposed to get it today. I didn't have a chance to. I was going to run out at lunchtime, but I was bogged down with some work. Definitely going to go pick it up tomorrow, though, so me and Mike could get on playing some co-op and get some good games in. But yeah, man, really looking forward to it. Thanks for that heads up, though, that first looks. Sounds like a really fun game. Definitely looking forward to it. I heard you were doing this, and I looked up some stats as far as, like, some pretty impressive stuff. You know, Halo 5, they said racked up $400 million in global sales, including games and hardware, in 1 week after it launched, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's huge numbers. That's more than a lot of the blockbusters, you know, did first week came out last year. So, yeah, and they said that pushed it up to $5 billion for the franchise over the lifetime for its sales. So,
which is pretty impressive, and that's why Microsoft wanted to buy it from Bungie, because they knew going forward with this franchise that sales like that would happen within a week. You know, 400 million's in a pretty impressive number, and people will still buy, especially with the holiday season. Those numbers will not stop. They'll definitely get close to a billion. I don't know if they'll break a billion just with Halo 5, like hardware and the game itself, with digital downloads and hard copies of the game. But it was a good number. I'm happy to hear the success of Halo. It is a game that I hold dear to my heart. I've played it since high school and have a lot of good memories with friends and stuff. So I'm still glad that it's around, and 343 seems to be taking it very seriously. They do have dedicated servers for Halo 5 multiplayer. They, you know, I haven't played the multiplayer, but everybody who's reviewed it, IGN, Polygon, everybody has said the servers are incredible. There's been no lag. And 343 took that very seriously, and I'm glad that they did. They're one of the few, seems like, franchises that they're taking Halo pretty seriously. And the Master Chief Collection was a disastrous launch, and they're learning from that. And yeah, I'm excited, man. It should be. I mean, so far it's a good impression. Nothing that I hate so far. Just some things I question. I'm like, what's going on here? But I'm excited to finish it. I'll probably finish it this weekend, cause I just want to plow through the campaign. So
nice.
Pretty excited.
Well, they also, they set a Guinness World Record. And I know we've talked a lot about on the show as far as like streaming goes and like, all this competitive gameplay and stuff going on and streaming channels and stuff. They said that, their Guinness World Record was for video game launch. Most watched video game launch with over 330,000 unique streams on the night of the broadcast. So like the night that it came out, 330,000 people streamed their first experiences with Halo 5, which is insane. And that's not including how many people probably watched it. I think they said 5.5 million additional views throughout the week. Which is
that's pretty crazy. I'm glad that you read those statistics. I mean, this just further cements the fact of esports becoming a thing.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, streaming is a very prevalent thing, whether it's competitive or casual. You're going to have people watch it. It's just too easy, you know? And that's really cool. I mean, there's so many Halo podcasts out there, and all those podcast guys who are doing Halo, they're streaming on Twitch, and it's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for the success. I'm glad that the franchise is moving forward with success. It would really suck if you see a franchise you like just go down the shitter. You know what I mean, Sean? If it would really upset me if it was just not received well, and you know what I mean? It seems to be received well in the Halo community, the lore of it all, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, and it's definitely, it's Xbox's Both of us being Xbox guys, currently, it's their flagship, you know, it's their...
Yeah, big time. That and Gears of War. Yeah,
for sure. And we all know Gears of War is a great game, but, yeah, Halo's definitely... I think any gamer has played that game, you know, so it's a great game. All right, well, that was our 2 cents. We're going to dive into some news now for you folks. I got a lot of stuff going on this week. Definitely, anytime we're getting close to the holidays, a lot more stuff's coming out. A lot of companies are putting out their movies and their games. We actually, speaking of Star Wars, we talked about earlier. I don't know if you guys had seen this or not, but Fox News hosts bashed Star Wars a little bit. I don't know why they decided to pick a fight with Star Wars. Calling it overrated and oversaturated, anchors Neil Cavuto and Carly Schmickis.
Can we just call her schmucks or bitch?
Dumbasses. Yeah. It was.
Do you want to tackle this first? Because it got me pretty heated.
Okay. Well, I hate Fox News anyways. We'll start there. Just because arrogant, stupid stuff. And Micah brought this up the other week with ESPN that these people who have no idea about like the culture or the history that's behind a lot of this stuff make stupid off the collar comments because they got to fill airtime. And I think that's just what these people did. They don't understand it. It's not part of who they are or what they're used to or what they like. And so they had to belittle it. And I just hate people that do stuff like that, man. I feel like that's just super childish and irresponsible, especially something that like has gapped decades, you know, like it is older than I am as far as a franchise goes. And like, I don't know, it was arrogant and stupid, and I just want to say hey, fuck you, Fox. So
yeah, no, it was when I was watching the video, Sean and me were getting ready for the show, and I was like, I don't know if I can finish watching it. It's literally infuriating me. Like, I don't know if I can finish watching it. Like, I don't even know where to start, Sean. Like, it just felt like two jock bullies, like, beating up a nerd kid and throwing him in his locker. It was like, all they said were these negative things. Like, I understand if you want to talk about it, like, oh, it's been oversaturated maybe a little too much. There's a respectful way to do that, and there's a right way to say, you know, like we asked that question on our podcast. I think it was even last week. We were talking about how Star Wars may be oversaturated. Was that going to affect people going into it? But you know, that asking that question's fine. But the way that they went about it was mocking, man, belittling. It was almost like if you like Star Wars, there's another third guy there. I don't know his name. They had like Fox had a movie insider that they go to about movies and entertainment news or whatever. And he was talking about, you know, oh, it's great. You know, it's the classic good versus evil. And this guy, Neil, is like, well, that's been done a million times. Like, what's so unique about that? I'm like,
'cause they're the ones that started it, you dummy.
Yeah, I was like, do you even know the nostalgia of me as a kid? Everybody as a kid, your dad taking you to Star Wars, you've seen Star Wars for the first time. It's called imagination. It's called feeling like a kid. It's called, you know, just enjoying life, sharing a community with friends and talking about it. And it just blows my mind that they're just, it's almost like they went on a mission to just hate it. And honestly, they don't understand it. That's why. And it's just straight up ignorance. And the thing is, and they were like, why is it relevant? They were saying things like, why is Star Wars relevant? Well, let me read you something. I don't know if they knew this, but Disney bought a Lucasfilm for $4 billion. And do they not think that $4 billion is a lot of money? I don't understand. It just blows my mind, Sean. My mind.
To belittle something that means a lot to a lot of people, especially to a culture and a segment of people that, you know, we identify with very much. We have a podcast that's dedicated to this culture and this group of people, and then just to attack it like that is kind of ridiculous, especially when they work for a company who is their next biggest releases are movies like the X-Men, Deadpool. They're doing a remake of Independence Day. So clearly the company that you work for, that you get your check from, finds a lot of stock in this culture. And so for you to say that, it's just arrogant. But Fox News says arrogant and stupid things all the time.
Yeah, I don't understand. I was reading an article from a well-known, a lot of well-known sites like Entertainment Weekly. They're kind of an authority, but they're predicting 615 million worldwide opening weekend. So we're talking over $500 million just in 2 days. So if they do hate, obviously they do, and they are bigots and hate people who are nerds because they think that they're lonely and weird, and they're literally insulting a group of people who enjoy something. And whether they find that childish or not is irrelevant. Your job is to report the news, and something that people would find interesting if you would get to the news and stop belittling people is how much money this is making and how much money it will make. And I don't understand why they didn't focus on that. Like $650 million, it's predicted, and it will. I would put my paycheck on it. It'll definitely make at least $500 million in opening weekend. I mean, why? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they talk about that? Like, that's fascinating. That's interesting. That's it doesn't make sense to me. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly that, like, I mean, especially in this day and age. I mean, the top grossing films of all time, you know, or comic book films, or like adventure sci-fi films, you know, game culture is running rampant. I mean, it's everywhere. We've talked about ESPN's picking it up. We have a whole bunch more news later on that we're going to talk about, as far as like movies and other things like that coming out. Comic books are everywhere. Some of the biggest TV shows on TV were started by comic books and superhero stuff. So everywhere in our culture and our society right now is part of this movement and this culture. And just to have these two just dumb, arrogant idiots open their stupid, flappy mouths. And it was so bad. It was like this old, rich, white guy and this dumb, bimbo, like, cheerleader.
Totally. It was like they picked
the
worst
people, just like stereotype people. And then they picked this poor, like, kind of nerdy kid who was like, they're like, well, if we were all weirdos like this guy, we would go see the movie.
Literally. They were like picking on him.
The poor kid was like, oh, I guess I'm different than you guys. Weird. Well, look at me. I'm an idiot. Gonna go see this movie that everybody and their mom's gonna go see.
Exactly. It just blows my mind. And I hope that they get a lot of hate for it. I hope Anonymous attacks them. Is that bad that I'm wishing that on them?
Those two people. Let's not say their name because I don't want them to come after us. We love you, Anonymous. Anything that you guys do is great. Thank you so much.
No, legitimately, you guys are great. Go attack them. Go attack these two idiots who... Star Wars means a lot to a lot of people, even more than you and me. Like, they get emotional about it. Like, it's a big part of their lives. And these people were just... straight up hateful about it, and it was horrible to watch, and I was just baffled that it was even allowed to air.
For sure. Well, obviously this riled us up a little bit. Maybe we shouldn't have started with that one in our news, but it definitely was like
said.
I saw it come across on all the news boards, and I was like, man, I gotta talk about this, because it did, man. It just twerked something to me, and it reminded me of, like, you know, just being younger, man, and dealing with stupid people saying stupid shit about stuff that I liked because it was, in their eyes, wasn't cool or whatever. So, yeah, whatever. Moving on. Those people, like, could live in their sad lives. If you haven't seen it, go check it out if you want to and get infuriated like us, or if not, don't even waste your breath on them.
I'll try to link it in the show notes so somebody, hopefully they'll leave a nasty little email for him.
Right on. All right, so moving along. Micah, did you ever see The Crow?
I did. It wasn't one of my favorite movies. I've only seen it like 2-3 times.
I loved it so much, man. I thought it was so good. Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Son.
No, a good revenge movie. Definitely a very good revenge movie.
Total 90s movie, like.
Yeah.
Total, like, grunge guy, like, dies and comes back to life and like, to avenge his, like, dead wife or whatever.
It was cool. It was a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I just wasn't, like, obsessed with it. But,
yeah. Well, they're making a reboot of it, so.
Good. That's awesome.
They'll clean up what you didn't like about it the first time. director Corin Hardy, I guess, he made this movie called The Hollow and a bunch of other short films. Not a really, really well-known director, is producing this movie, or is directing this movie. It's coming from Relativity Studios, Relativity Media. It's a studio that went bankrupt not too long ago, and this is why this movie hasn't been made yet. But they were able to figure it out, and they're going to start shooting in 2016. I think it'd be cool, man. I think that seems like it would make a good reboot. It's been long enough.
Yeah.
It's kind of a story that doesn't really die, so.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I think that's great. I would love to see a reboot of it, and hopefully it'll get made. I mean, who knows? Only time will tell. And yeah, man, I think it was a great movie. I was more enamored in watching The Goonies a million times in a row. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm just that way. If I like something, I'll watch it a million times.
I remember when I was a kid, dude. I got in so much trouble because I saw that movie, and I like. Had a nice black sweater my mom had like got me for like church or something like that. And I ripped it all up. Like I was like the Crow and like had big rips down the front of it and my sleeves were all tore up. And I like put like white makeup all over my face. And I was like a little kid, just thought I was like so cool. And I was like standing on top of my bed with like my little Fender guitar that I had when I was a kid. Like just like, yeah, I'm the Crow. I'm the Crow, bitch.
I really wish we had video of that.
Oh, man.
That's
my
hilarious.
Mom was so mad at me when she saw that sweater, dude. She was so mad. Yeah. I was like, don't touch me. I'm the Crow. She whooped my ass for it, but probably deserved it. It was a really nice sweater. But, yeah, it was a good movie. I'm looking forward to it coming out.
Nice.
So.
Nice. No, I'm excited that hopefully it'll get made, man. I would watch it.
Right on. All right, moving right along. We got Alan Wake 2 release confirmed. Yeah, I played Alan Wake, and I thought it was a really good game back on 360.
I did not, so you're going to have to take this one away. I did play Max Payne. I know that was kind of similar, right? Because it has like a slowdown mechanic.
Yeah, same company. They made that in Quantum Break, which is
the new Xbox One supposed to come out, isn't it called Quantum Break? Okay.
That's the one that's hopefully coming out soon. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, no details on, like, when it's coming out or anything. Alan Wake was a lot like Max Payne. It was kind of like the time mechanics, like you said, that slowdown mechanics. They were the kind of the ones that introduced that to this genre, to all these games. That came pretty prevalent. Yeah, it was a good game, man. I think, looking forward to it. Kind of reminiscent of, like, a Tomb Raider, kind of going around and figuring out some riddles and whatnot, and pushing yourself along in the story. But yeah, I liked it. I think it's gonna be good. We just wanted to mention that it is confirmed that it will be coming out soon, so.
Cool. I'm down. I'm totally down, yeah. So next up, we have Aziz Ansari has a new original show, and it should be up by now. Didn't it come out midnight last night?
It did. I watched the first episode.
Well, tell me about it. I love Aziz Ansari. I love his stand-up. I think he's fucking hilarious, and I can't wait to watch this show. I love him.
Yeah, man. It was really good. It's kind of like Louis, basically, I would say. Loosely based on Aziz Ansari's life, except in the show, he's a character named Dev, D-E-V. So he's a single 30-year-old New Yorker. He's not, like, fairly unexceptional. I mean, he's just kind of an average guy, a lot like Louis in this aspect. He lives off of, he made this Go-Gurt commercial, and so he gets residuals from that Go-Gurt commercial. That's how he pays his rent and stuff. He's like a comedian and he has a bunch of friends. But the first episode I saw was called Plan B. And he like he's like, it starts with him having sex with this woman and the condom comes off and he's like, oh no, the condom came off. And the lady's like, well, did you come? And he's like, no, but he's like, I think some like pre-ejaculate came out. And she's like, okay, well, I don't think you get pregnant from that. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I think we should Google it right now. And so they both pull out their phones and they're Googling. And he's like, I think some of my boys might have snuck in. We should go get a pill. And, but yeah, it was just very, yeah, it was really funny, man. And because it's on Netflix, it's a little more crass than maybe on network TV or whatever. But I thought it was really funny, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of the episodes.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to check it out, man. I think he's a comic genius. I really do. He's funny. Awesome. Yeah. So great, man. Awesome. Well, on some sadder news, George Barris, designer of the iconic TV Batmobile, passed away. He designed the Batmobile from Adam West's Batman.
Yeah, TV the series. 1966 Batman, as everybody knows it. Yeah, amazing. I love that car, dude.
Every time I've seen
pictures of it or whatever, it's a great car.
I think any Batman man recognizes that as the first Batmobile.
Oh, absolutely.
And it, I don't know if it was the exact same one, because I know that there's a couple models floating around, but we go to a Comic-Con at Denver every year. And it's always there, and I always get my picture taken with it. It's really cool. Super, super fun. Yeah, it was sad. He's 89 years old. And, yeah, he'll be missed. Anything revolving anything Batman, anything, is important to me and Sean. So
Yeah, for sure. He was known as the king of customizers. You know, he built a ton of cars throughout his career. He did, like, the Time Machine movie car. He did The Munsters. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yeah.
He did the hillbilly car from Beverly Hillbillies. So he's done a ton of, like, very iconic cars. But, yeah, it said that he passed away, and his son is the one that put out the note, and he said he passed away surrounded by family, and he had a great life, and he had no regrets, and it was definitely a celebration of his life. So it's nice to hear when, you know, somebody had a full life and did everything they wanted to and, were surrounded by family and, you know, they celebrated the guy and, you know, it wasn't a tragedy, even though I'm sure it hurt, but it was a celebration of who he was. So really cool stuff. And, we salute you, sir, for making the Batmobile, the first one. Yeah.
No, it's sad. And, We thank him for his contribution. It sounds like he was a memorable icon for Hollywood itself. I mean, coming up with all those iconic shows, TV, those cars. So he will be sorely missed. Thanks, George, for your contribution, man. What an amazing dude.
Well, you said you were talking about that car. So apparently in something I read, said he made that first Batmobile out of a 1955 Lincoln. It took him 15 days, and he had a $15,000 budget to redo everything.
Which was probably pretty big back then in the 60s.
Yeah, 15 days, well, that's got to be killer. With all that special stuff he did on it. Like all
those $15,000 is probably a lot back then, though, too.
Yeah, that's true. Back in 1955. But it said it was a 19-foot-long automobile. It was at the end of the series, he was able to purchase the car from the studio because they were just going to wreck it, I'm sure. And so he put the car on display in North Hollywood Custom Car Shop for a long time. And then it went on sale. His family, his estate sold it a couple years back for like $4.5 million.
That sounds low to me.
And it's currently on sale again. So if you want to own the actual original Batmobile, it's like 5.5 right now, I think, is what it's estimated it's at.
Just out of my price range. Just I would have done $5 million even.
It was either by the Toyota Corolla or the Batmobile, and practicality and Yeah.
My Corolla gets better gas mileage.
It's true. It doesn't have a rocket.
It doesn't have a flaming rocket shooting out of the back when it goes into 30 miles an hour.
For sure. Yeah, but we salute George Barris. So, moving along.
We salute you.
Gabe Newell believes steam machines can kill off consoles.
I don't think we have enough time in the world to talk about this. This is such... It's like 10 minutes left in the show, 5 minutes left in the show, and you're busting this question on me, Sean?
Yeah, maybe we'll say that for next week.
Well, we can touch on it a little bit now if you want. I don't care. We can save it.
We've got, like,
week,
our two longest topics are the ones we have left, of course. I took too long. I'm sorry, guys. I took too long on the...
It's okay. No, yeah, this new steam machine everyone's been talking about. I don't know, Sean. I think it's one. It's hard to say that it will kill off consoles. I think it's just too soon. I don't think anyone can predict that.
We all know your opinion of it, and it's dumb. So let me give you my opinion, which is right and accurate.
What's my opinion about? Oh, do you mean like the diskless future?
Yeah, you think it's never going to happen because...
I just don't think it's going to happen tomorrow like you. I don't think you think it's you think it's happening next Thursday at 6.
Change is hard for you, and I get it. I understand it. And I feel where you're coming from, but we all have to let it go.
You're so dumb.
So George Newell is Valve's co-founder, managing director, and Valve is like... they produce gaming consoles, basically gaming PCs. And so Steam, for you guys that don't know, Steam is like an online, it's like a PC desktop download games. I don't know. How would you say it's like a membership? Like you pay less to get, current games, video games, and play them on your PC or your desktop. Now they have an actual console type machine. It looks actually a lot like like an Xbox, and you connect it to the internet. You have all the features of a PC, plus you're able... It's made to stream Steam games on, which is every game that comes out is on Steam for the most part. There's probably a few titles that don't get PC releases. So this guy, he just mentioned that he thought that the Steam machine, after he reviewed it, it could potentially kill consoles, which it could, because I feel like consoles are in this constant battle to become your all-in-one machine, become your entertainment center and your computer and all this stuff. And then I think PC builders are also trying to become your all-in-one as far as, like, you know, being able to play all the games that you want to play on it and then still do all the things that a PC normally does. So there's just going to be, eventually there's going to be this connection where consoles and PCs just finally connect, and you could do everything on a computer and a video game system onto this one thing, which potentially is the stream machine or the Steam machine.
So tell me, Miss More, Cleo, you sound like you're pretty sure of this. You're just predicting the future. You just know for sure.
Telling you what the experts
say. How in the world is a PC, how is that going to be an all-in-one entertainment system? There's no PC that's an entertainment system right now.
Yeah. It's just going to happen, dude. Just accept it.
No, but explain that to me.
Okay, so the fact of the matter is, hardware, the cost of hardware and specs and stuff, you could build an Alienware PC that's faster, more...
Don't tell me cheaper, because it's not. The graphics
cheaper,
card is...
Cheaper, no. Faster, and can play games a lot quicker than your console currently can. And that's just a fact.
No, I'm looking it up right now because you're full of shit. It's okay. Not cheaper. The graphics card alone, and to have the graphics card alone is more than your console.
Do you know what a graphics card is? I didn't know.
Do you know what a graphics card is?
You don't know anything about computers.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong.
Okay. So is this Gabe Newell, who's like the co-founder of a technology company, he's full of shit too.
Let me guess. What technology company? Is this his product?
No, it's not his product. He's actually a competitor to Steam machines, and he thinks the Steam machine could beat consoles. And he didn't say his product could. He said a product that he's in direct competition with could.
I'm telling you, that this has nothing to do with the Disqus
future.
No, you're
right. You're a lot smarter than the co-founder of a
This
of a
has
technology
nothing
company.
To do with the Disqus future. This is more about consoles. So Xbox One has sold 1.4 million consoles as of right now. PlayStation 4 has sold 13.5. So together, some quick math, that's 14, roughly 15 million consoles have been sold so far. Not to mention all the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. I do not think that somebody who doesn't know how to build a PC and do Alienware and put together a PC with the latest this and the latest that and the latest, it's just a hassle. Give me my console. It's already all prepackaged. I'm not good with a keyboard. And PC gamers and console gamers, there is a drastic, drastic difference. And I don't know why you don't see that.
No,
playing
was,
a first person,
sure. And that's why he's saying
playing
the
a
future.
First person shooter with a keyboard compared to my Xbox
controller. These have controllers, dude. Look, have you even seen the Steam Machine?
Yeah,
look
I have.
It up. It has
but
a,
I'm saying
it comes with controllers. It looks exactly like an Xbox. It just uses Steam and compared to going and buying a disc from a store. Only difference, and you can do all the things you can do with a computer on your Steam Machine.
Microsoft has invested, Sony has invested a lot into these consoles. Those are two mega giants.
You're arguing with me and you're fighting against the stream, man. It's just, it's happening. Accept it. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
So,
it's still going to be a ways away.
Right, right.
But the fact is
listen.
That potentially right now there's a machine that's out there that costs the same amount at the price point and you could do everything digitally and you could have a complete computer system hooked up to your TV. It's not, that's just what it is. That's what exists. And the guy who is a direct competitor of it knows a ton about this industry, says potentially in the future, this could beat out consoles. This could be where gaming goes.
Well, I'm not going to take it. Sorry, I don't take this guy's opinion for the gospel truth, because every CEO who's ever predicted anything is always right just because he makes millions of dollars.
Why are you so upset?
I'm frustrated because you don't think a way that you don't think that Microsoft or Sony will find a way. It will go discless. I never said it wouldn't. I just think it won't come as quickly as you think it will.
Yeah.
And my second point, Microsoft will find a way to go all digital and stream with their own service. Same with Sony. This isn't going to change anything. To me, this whole idea is just ridiculous. It just, I don't even, it doesn't make sense to me.
You're just like the guy who was like, the world's flat. Nope, you're an idiot. You're gonna sail over there and you're gonna fall straight off the world. Good luck. Good luck. You're gonna die. Enjoy it.
Everybody
then, like,
can write to Sean on his Twitter, hashtag know-it-all. and
you could
tell
write
him
to
how
Micah
he
at the sky is falling.
You tell us, listeners, please speak up on this issue. What do you think? Tell
us
what you think.
Do you fear the future or do you embrace it? Let us know, folks. what's it going to be? We should have known that.
Sean supports Fox News.
Oh, my God.
Sean is evil.
We're going to go down that road. Who likes Fox News more?
We are out of time today, folks. We are already over.
Oh, we have the best news coming up, too.
I know. We're going to have to put it for next week. We're out of time this week. We have tons of new stuff. Every episode's awesome, Sean. Every episode's awesome. We don't need any more.
You don't need any more.
You want to talk about Activision? I don't want to run through that real quick.
Let's do our questions real quick. Finish up that way.
All right, we'll do a Q&A for our listeners. We'll give you a little taste of us, a little extra taste this week.
We gotta do it's tradition now. We gotta do our Q&A time.
No, last week you fucking hated my question. So
well,
this tradition you hated last episode. Because
I wrote the questions this time, so they're going to be better.
Oh, you're
all right, dumb. So Micah, do you think in the future we'll have... No, I'm just kidding. with Activision's... the first question is about the last thing that we talked about. The last two are. Okay, so we're only going to do one question. So in honor of Barriss, George Barriss is passing away, what are your favorite superhero or supervillain vehicles? Top tier.
Do you know?
I don't know. I wrote the question right before we started, and I didn't have time to think about it. Obviously, I think the Batmobile, but what version of the Batmobile is definitely on there?
Yeah.
Dude, I loved, when I was a kid, remember the Batwing from the second Batman movie, Batman Forever? Yeah. It had, like, the, he, like, clips all the balloons with, the, like, the little scissors, like, grabs
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was
awesome. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the first one, actually, so I take it back. That's from Batman.
Is that the one with Michael Keaton?
Yeah, that was the first one, because it was the Joker's balloons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
that
good,
was awesome.
That was cool. Honestly, I really fell in love with Christopher Nolan's version. I felt like that was a very realistic. Tumblr. Yeah, because it felt like militarized, and it felt like something that Batman would have really had, you know, if he's a millionaire, like a playboy, he would have secretly bought it from some military company that sold those kind of weapons, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, it seemed very realistic.
Especially
and
starting
I liked the
out.
Way it looked.
Like
yeah.
That was like his first vehicle or whatever.
Right. Right. And it looked, it just, I liked the way it looked and I liked how it could turn into that motorcycle. I just thought that was fucking badass. So Christopher Nolan's Batmobile is definitely my favorite.
Cool.
That or the first Batmobile that he made. I think that's so iconic and so cool. But
yeah,
sad he's gone.
For sure, man. Yeah, then there's so many vehicles out there that have their definitely unique stamp on us. You know, we just passed Back to the Future Day not too long ago, so DeLorean's a huge one.
DeLorean, yeah.
The Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Those are all so great.
Yeah, there's just so many out there, man.
There's so many. But since he created the first Batmobile, we should say, what is our favorite Batman vehicle? Because there's been so many different variations. Like, the George Clooney Batman was horrible. Batman nipples, hashtag never forget. Yeah. But that Batmobile was pretty cool because it had, like, the ribs that glowed the blue through it. And I had one of those Batmobiles. I don't know if you remember that. It's like a neon blue that glowed through those like ribs, those metal ribs of it. I thought it was really neat.
For sure. Yeah. No, that was good. And he had the Robin cycle or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool too. At least they got the vehicles right in those shitty Batman movies.
Yeah. They threw nipples on Batman.
Oh, they were awful.
Bad. Pretty bad. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We have some extra content next week for you guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like always, we really appreciate it. If you have any questions or comments or you want to hear us read out anything on the air, definitely tweet us. You can reach the show at 5280Nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. And you can reach Mr. Micah at
Vash0077.
And definitely go on to iTunes right now. Whatever you're doing, stop it. Go on to iTunes, subscribe, and rate us, and give us 5 stars because you love us. And we'd really appreciate that, and that helps the show out so much, more than we could ever express to you guys. It helps other people find out about it and helps us keep going. We would definitely appreciate it if you did that. You could reach out to us and check out what's going on with the show at our website at 5280nerd.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you have a great week. And remember, the future is coming, and there's no stopping it.
There's no stopping it. There's no stopping Sean being wrong all the time. Thank you guys so much for this week.
Oh, my God. The future can never come. Oh.
Thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
Oh, Micah. The future can never come. Oh. It's gonna be good. I like it a lot.
Hashtag Sean supports Fox News.
You could write to Micah at The Sky Is Falling.